Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. Could Jesus Christ return tonight? Will he return in the not-too-distant future? Will he return at all? According to a poll which was published by Fox News this week, about 44% of the American people believe that we are living in the end times due to the increased activity of natural disasters. But over 52% deny that and say that this has no meaning whatsoever. Now, those of you who have followed our programs know that I strongly believe that we are living in the end times. You can turn to the Olivet Prophecy of Jesus Christ, where he gave the signs which would lead to his coming. And he talked about religious deception. He talked about wars and rumors of wars. He talked about tidal waves or tsunamis. He talked about famine. He talked about disease epidemics. But he also said, even though these things would increase in strength and in power, these are just the beginnings of sorrow. Just the beginnings. He said the end isn't there yet. So even though we are seeing these natural catastrophes and other events taking place, including the wars which are going on right now as we speak, this is not the final stage yet, because other things will have to happen first. The next event which has to happen is the Great Tribulation, a terrible time. A time, Jesus Christ said, which has never happened to man since man has been living on this earth. And it will never happen again. And he said, if I wouldn't come to shorten those days, no flesh would be saved alive. Nobody on this planet would survive. You see, that hasn't happened yet. We are moving quickly towards these events, but they haven't happened yet. And that is why we can safely and dogmatically say that Jesus Christ couldn't come back tonight. He couldn't. Now, isn't God almighty? Of course he is. But you see, God cannot become unfaithful to himself. God cannot lie. God has clearly told us what would have to happen first. And so these events will have to happen first before Jesus Christ can return. The Great Tribulation, a time of worldwide war, but also of a worldwide martyrdom of true Christians. That has to happen first. Now, how long is that going to last? Some say, oh, it's going to last 7 years. Now, to be honest, I believe I know the Bible as much as those who preach that kind of stuff, and I have not seen one scripture which indicates that the Great Tribulation could last longer than 3.5 years at the most. Scripture after scripture after scripture is telling us exactly how long that Great Tribulation will last, but remember now, Christ will even shorten those days. And it talks about a time, two times, and half a time signifying a year in biblical prophecy. So that's 3.5 years. It talks about 42 months. That's 3.5 years. It talks about 1,260 days. That's another 3.5 years. Nothing in the Bible indicates that the Great Tribulation could last for 7 years. So those who believe that when the Great Tribulation starts, they have 7 years to go, they are awfully mistaken. At the same time, some may not say that the Great Tribulation will last for 7 years, but they say that a contract is going to be made which will last 7 years. And then after 3.5 years, that contract would be broken. So they also wait for at least 7 more years before Christ could return. Now again, they don't quite specify as to who that contract is being made by and with. The idea is that a European power is going to make this contract with either the Jews or the Arabs. It's amazing to me that they would make a contract for 7 years specifying it's going to last 7 years. Not 10 years, not 15 years, not forever. You make a peace treaty for 7 years. That's kind of funny. But the point is, there's nothing in the Bible indicating that either. Now, some refer to a scripture in the book of Daniel. But you see, this talks about the Messiah. This talks about Jesus Christ, who would do away with the sacrifices in the middle of the week. What's meant by that? It's meant that when he died and when he thereby gave his life for us, fulfilling that ultimate sacrifice, making possible forgiveness of sins, the animal sacrificial system of the Old Testament was done away with. And it's also talking about the fact that he literally was crucified and died in the middle of the week on Events Day. Because Christ said to the Pharisees, the only sign I'm going to give you that I am the Messiah is that I am going to be for 3 days and 3 nights in the grave. 72 hours, as Jonah would be and was 3 days and three nights in the belly of this sea monster. Now, people don't believe that either. They don't believe that there was a Noah and a Jonah. They don't believe in Noah's flood either, by the way. Jesus Christ many times talked about Noah's flood as a fact. They don't believe that Jonah actually was swallowed up by a sea monster. But Christ gave that as a sign that he would be the Messiah. Now, did Christ lie? Or did those people who reject the concept of Noah's flood or Jonah lie? Now, either somebody has to lie here. Now, you have to make a decision as to whom you want to believe. But Christ said that he would be in the grave for 72 hours. That does totally away with the concept that Christ was crucified on a Friday and he was resurrected on a Sunday morning, because that does not match up 72 hours. Now, he was literally crucified on Wednesday, because it talks in the Bible about the fact that Wednesday was a preparation day to the Sabbath and to the Passover. But it's not talking about the weekly Sabbath. It's talking about an annual holy day, because in the book of John we read it was a great day, a high day, an annual holy day, which is also called a Sabbath. It was in this week, the first day of unleavened bread, which fell on a Thursday. So Christ was crucified and he died and was buried on Wednesday evening, just about sunset, before the annual holy day of the first day of unleavened bread began. And so he was in the grave for 3 days and three nights, and he came out of the grave Saturday evening, just around sunset. Because you see, when the women came to the grave, it says it was dark. Days began and ended with sunset. So they came to the grave on the first day of the week, but it was dark. Of course it was dark, because they arrived just after the Sabbath had ended. And so Christ fulfilled that sign that he was the Messiah, and he actually died on a Wednesday in the middle of the week, as the book of Daniel had prophesied. Nothing in the Bible talks about a contract between a beast power or a European power with the Arabs or the Jews, and those who wait for that seven-year contract are still waiting when the Great Tribulation has already long begun. My friends, it's going to be a very difficult and terrible time ahead of us. And some may say, oh, well, of course, if Christ can't come back tonight, then I still have time. I don't have to get serious now, because, you know, I still have time, at least 3.5 years, or a little bit less than that, perhaps, until Christ returns. But don't make that mistake, because you don't want to be living on this earth in an unprotected fashion when the Great Tribulation begins, a time so terrible that no flesh would be saved alive unless Jesus Christ would return. God offers us protection. Now, he's not offering us protection in heaven. The concept of a secret rapture is not taught in the Bible at all. But God is offering us protection at a place of safety, as the Bible says, here on earth. And historically, there have been places of safety before. You see, when the Romans attacked Jerusalem in 70 AD to destroy the temple, there was a short window of opportunity. And God's true church fled to a place. They were protected from the slaughter of the Romans. And Christ says to us today, pray that your flight won't be in the winter or on the Sabbath. So a flight is still coming to a place here on earth which God has prepared according to the book of Revelation. Now, we don't have to worry about whether we have the financial means or the ability to get to that place, because if God wants you to be there, he will make sure that you are going to be there. But you have to qualify for that. You have to live worthy for that. And my friends, as I said, the times are going to be so terrible, and they may happen soon. I want to explain to you what is stated in a particular passage in the book of Ezekiel, in the 6th chapter. It talks about that time, just prior to Christ's return. It says, in all your dwelling places the cities shall be laid waste, and the high places shall be desolate, so that your altars may be laid waste and broken and made to cease, your incense altars may be cut down, and your works may be abolished. The slain shall fall in your midst, and you shall know that I am the Lord. When God says, you shall know that I am the Lord, that's an expression referring to the immediate intervention of Jesus Christ and God the Father in world affairs, just prior to Christ's return. There's another passage in the book of Revelation, in the 9th chapter, and you might want to read the entire 9th chapter to see what's being described. Now, this is a passage referring to a time after the Great Tribulation has already begun, but prior to Christ's return. Terrible events are being described here. And of course, John saw all of those in a vision, and he used language which was familiar in his day and age. I mean, he couldn't use words like tank and helicopter and airplane because these words didn't exist. But so he described what he saw in the vision. Notice what he described in the 9th chapter of the book of Revelation. He says, out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Again, protection is offered by God to those who want to follow him. It goes on to say, and they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. And in those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. The shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. And they had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Talking about modern warfare. But it's not over yet, because if you keep reading, you will find that more weapons of mass destruction are going to be used. And it says, and by these plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone, which came out of the mouths of these military weapons and vehicles and what's all being described here. And of course, then we read that people still didn't repent. Even when God allows those plagues to come upon them, they wouldn't repent. They wouldn't change their life. And so those plagues will continue. My friends, I hope that you are not in that kind of a situation. You want to change your life now. Don't have unfinished business in your life, which you think you can take care of later, because in a sense, my friends, Christ could come back tonight, insofar as you are concerned. In a sense, what do I mean by that? Well, you might be scoffing at what you are hearing today on this program. You might dismiss it as kind of nonsense, and you might go out on the street and a car hits you and kills you. You don't know when you're going to die. But you see, when you die, death is compared in the Bible with a dreamless sleep. Within the next second of your consciousness, you will be awakened. And so Jesus Christ says, the hour will come when everyone who is in their graves will hear the voice of the Son of Man and will come forth. And those who have done good, they will enter into the resurrection of life. And those who have done evil, they will enter into the resurrection of judgment. You want to be in that resurrection of life. You want to be in the resurrection of the righteous ones, which Paul describes, that when Christ returns at the last trumpet, you will be raised in immortality. You will enter the family of God as a spirit being, as a God being. That's what you want to become. But you see, in order to be able to do that, you have to answer God's call for you, respond to him, and begin to change your life. Don't wait until it's too late. If you die tonight and you still have unfinished business, you will have to account for that when you stand in front of the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. So yes, we know that things still have to happen, but they can happen fairly soon until Christ returns to this world as he promised he would. But you don't know when you are going to die. So don't wait too long. Don't wait until it is too late. Thanks very much for watching. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.